Welcome to everyone this morning. This morning we're going to take a look at a text in which Jesus gives an answer to the Pharisees and the scribes of why his disciples don't follow to the letter the teaching of the elders, especially about what hand washings and other ceremonial washings. And we will find out that it is not because of these practices that people are holy. And we will see that what is done outside is not what tells us whether we are sinful or not. Rather, we will find out that what comes from inside is what makes us sinners. The sin that we talked about last week very briefly will be more explained, that this is part of us because it comes from within. And for this reason, Jesus knew and came to this earth that he would be the sacrifice for our sin. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and a certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands. They found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash hands oft and eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received as a hold, as washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. The Pharisees and the scribe asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" And he answered unto them and said, "Well has Elias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men as washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And then he said to them, "Full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whosoever curseth thy father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect, delivered, and many such things do ye." And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him are they that defile the man. If a man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, and purging all meats?" And he said, "That which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulterers, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Amen. Please be seated. Now, to set this up, we have Jesus, and he's gathered, people are gathered around him, and he's and his disciples are there. And the Pharisees and the scribes come to Jerusalem. And they're coming not really to hear him speak, but as adversaries. They don't like him. And so they're coming, and right away what they see is they see his disciples. And the Pharisees were gathered to him, some scribes who had come up from Jerusalem, and they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. Now it's interesting how this all grew, the hand washing thing all came through, because if you go back into both Exodus and Leviticus where this is quoted, or where these traditions come from, what you find out is most of the washings that were taking place were for Aaron's descendants, the priestly line. And so what had happened is the men, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those who were in charge, had continually ramped this thing up so that the washings had become, now everybody's got to do it. And so they've started the tradition. And now the tradition has become more important than where the heart is. And so that's what goes on in verse 3. It says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the traditions of the elders." Now notice it doesn't say holding to the law of God. It's holding to the tradition. "And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches." And so they had all these different rules that they had set up that the people must follow. Otherwise, you were considered defiled. And this is the problem. And of course, because Jesus' disciples didn't follow this tradition, they found fault. And the Pharisees and the scribes now, they ask, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? Why aren't you following what we told you to follow?" Is basically what they're saying here. They're going, "Why aren't you doing what the tradition of our people is?" And Jesus answers them very, very directly. "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" And see, this is the thing. Because we, as human beings, in a lot of ways, are no different than the Jewish people. Because we have our traditions and our laws and our hoops that we want all people to jump through. You must do these things in order to be a Christian. We've set up our own traditions. And this is not the way it is supposed to be. Because our judgments are skewed. We cannot look at the heart as God looks at the heart. We cannot look inside a person to know what they believe and who they are. And he goes on to say about their worship, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And see, that's the thing. When we now replace what mankind wants with what the Word of God actually states. And see, the problem we have as human beings is most of the time when we go in here, we go in there to find and prove what we want. We don't let the Word speak to us and speak to me. We rather go into the Word to prove a point. And that's how we end up studying the Word. Well, I heard this guy say that. I'm going back in here and I'm going to prove he's wrong. Because that's what we do with the Word of God. Because we, being true human beings, want control. We want our rules followed. We want to make sure that people pay attention to what we have to say. And we end up teaching commandments of men instead of commandments of God. And he says this, you leave the commandments of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he goes on to give a great example of this. And it's hard to really understand but what's going on here, but I'm going to read through it and then I'll explain it. He says this, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles his father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father and mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making the word of God your tradition, so that you have handed down, and many such things you do. Now, unless you really understand the Jewish way of handling this, here's what's going on. We have the commandment from Moses to honor your father and mother. Very simple, straightforward command. And in fact, it's a command with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. And so we have that command. And what was happening is the Pharisees were saying, basically, that money or extra money that you had that you would take care of your parents with, if you gave that at the temple as an extra offering, well, then it was okay not to take care of your parents. That's what that whole thing is about. And so making null and void the whole commandment of honoring your father and mother, of caring for them. And these are the holy men. But these are the type of things that they do. In order to get a self-gain, in order that people would look upon them well, because they're giving extra money to the temple, they would ignore their parents. And they would not care for their needs. But this, greed and pride, we will find out, doesn't come from outside. It comes from within. And so he goes on now and he calls all the people to him and he says, hear, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. You see, this is unfortunately our sinful nature. It is not what we take in. It's what comes out of us, what comes out of our lips, what we do because of our motivation from within. And now his disciples, they're going, wait, this doesn't make sense. Everything we've been taught all of our lives is how to remain clean, and it's done in an outward sense. Ceremonial washings, the cleansing at the temple, the giving of offerings, these are the things that remain clean, not touching certain things. And Jesus is now turning this whole idea upon it, upside down. And so they say, and they entered the house and left the people, and his disciples asked them about the parable. And then he said to them, are you also without understanding? Don't you get it? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? And I think this is a very important thing for us to understand. Because we do this. We somehow think that it's the outside world that's going to get us dirty, going to taint us, going to defile us. The outside's got nothing on us personally. Because we have the sin nature. It is with us at all times and in all places and in all things that we do. Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not into his heart, but into his stomach and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And then he goes on to really explain what defiles us as human beings. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery. Notice he doesn't say that the devil made you do it, or Satan somehow dragged you over to do it. It comes out of us, and it comes out of that place that we always like to bring to, our heart. Our heart is easily deceived, and the sin that lives within us will automatically deceive us and cause us to sin, whether we like it or not. These things that Jesus lists here lives within each and every one of us. And Jesus Christ knew it. He knew who mankind was. There's a whole history of mankind throughout the Old Testament. From Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and you go right up through the patriarchs of the Israelites. And we find out that men, even those closest to God, had the same proclivity to sin. We talk about David, a man after God's own heart. Here he enters an adulterous relationship, or within the Old Testament, he enters an adulterous relationship and has the husband killed. You see, because that's who mankind is. But that's also the reason that God sent his Son. We find all kinds of other things: coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. You see, we can a lot of times ignore that first line there, verse 21. Well, we got, you know, I don't steal, I'm not immoral, I'm not a murderer or an adulterer, so I'm doing okay. Envy. Covetousness, pride, all things that really, if we are honest with ourselves, are very close to each and every one of us. But again, Jesus Christ came as the Son of God. He came to cleanse us within. He came and bore our punishment on the cross. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. Past, present, future. He has done everything for us. We are to believe that this gift that is given to each and every person in this world is for us. We are to grasp onto this. And it is then from within that the Holy Spirit starts to work within us to change not only our heart but our mind. That we would be renewed in our mind. That we would start to recognize some of these things within our life, and that some of them would be conquered, but not all. Because it's a very funny thing with sin. Once you think you got one all covered up, all taken care of, this isn't going to happen to me anymore, something else over here. Or you go, man, wasn't I good? I took care of that. I'm no longer, I don't know, whatever sin it is, I'm no longer a thief. I don't do that anymore. So I'm better than other people. Well, now my pride comes in. Now I must be better than someone else. And this is utter foolishness. We can't put ourselves on that plane. It reminds me again of the story or of a youth group that I had with two young men who were all fired up. And we started talking about how we are all the same in as far as our sinfulness. Some of it may not be displayed. But I asked the group, and these two young men latched onto this thing. I said, what if I made you ruler of the earth? What would you do? Oh, I would make sure everybody's taken care of. There'd be plenty of food. We'd make sure everybody had enough to eat. We'd get them good medical coverage. And so then I asked the next logical question. Well, how are you going to take care of all these things? How is it going to get paid for? Well, we'd have to get money from some people and, you know, we'd take care of it. And I'm like, okay, what if some people don't want to pay for that? Well, they'd have to. I said, so what are you going to do? Well, I suppose we could put them in jail. Well, what if they still? What if they're going to fight you and they're not going to go to jail? And finally, at the end, I had them so worked up, they were looking at me, well, then we'd have to kill some of them. And see, this is the problem. Even with the best of human intentions, we have that side of us that is murderer. That lives within each and every one of us. We are called not to follow a bunch of traditions, but we are to go to the cross of Calvary, to meet Jesus Christ there, to understand that that sin that lives within us each and every day and clings so closely to our flesh is taken care of. And then, as He was raised from the dead, we are to go forth and live. That we would bring this message of the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ to all people, because all people are in the same boat with us. And they need to understand that forgiveness. This is what Jesus Christ is bringing to the point. It's not our traditions. We have a wonderful tradition within our church, but it is not the tradition that makes us holy. It is knowing and believing the person of Jesus Christ and His message of forgiveness through His blood. This is what makes us holy, justified, and sanctified. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks. Father, that You have sent Your Son, that we no longer have to look at ourselves as defiled, but clean, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That, Father, we can know that You have made all things clean in Him, and that we can go forth from here and spread the message of the gospel, knowing, Father, that it is not our tradition or the hoops that we have jumped through, but knowing that it is all Your gift, the giving of Your Son, that makes us clean and righteous. Father, we ask that as we leave here, You would empower each and every one of us by the power of Your Word through Your Holy Spirit to bring this message to our world, to go forth and share the message of Your love for others through Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray these things. Amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.